All right. This podcast is brought to you by LifeWork Bookkeeping Solutions, LLC. Call 610-324-6895. Bookkeeping for professionals and small business owners, personal finances, QuickBooks training. Give them a call. Thanks. I am sorry about last night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcast. Good morning. It is, what's today? January 18th, 2023. It is a Wednesday. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. If you don't mind, it's a little cold and a little rainy, but beautiful day. Hope everyone's having a great day. What's going on? It's been a few days. Had to try to regroup a little bit. The holidays and, you know, all of the busy time of the year, getting through all that. And, you know, I've shared before, I go back and forth about doing this podcast, not because I don't love it, but sometimes I just don't have a lot of stuff to talk about. And, but whatever, we'll keep working on it one day at a time. What I think is a good idea yesterday doesn't always seem like a great idea today, and vice versa. But I did think, I was trying to think back or a little bit, you know, what I could share, what's going on in my life. And one of the big things that I shared about, I think, in the past is that I used to have a sponsor and that he passed away. And this probably has been 9 years now, 8, 9 years. And I haven't gotten a new sponsor. And so people was, well, you should just get a new sponsor. And I'm like, yeah, I should. But it's difficult. You know, I've had a few sponsors in my life. My first one, Ron M., was amazing. But he, you know, he had let me know right in the beginning, I will be your temporary sponsor. And now, as a person that's been, you know, that's worked a program and is, and been around for a few 24 hours, I understood what he was saying. Like, man, I don't really want to be your sponsor, but you need somebody in your life early. And so that's what he was. He was my temporary sponsor, and he was awesome, man. Ron M. was amazing. I think he's still alive. I would doubt he listens to this podcast, but if he does, I love you, Ron M. I think he's down in Florida now. But, man, he, you know, if you're new to the program, I hope that there's somebody that's in your life early that is welcoming, right? I hope that there's someone early in your life that has been around. It is important to find a sponsor that's got a little bit of time. And I know as a person that's come through the program, you want to sponsor people, or at least you want to be asked, right? I don't know. I mean, I think it's fun to sponsor, or I think it's great to sponsor. Is it a blast? I don't know. Not really. You know, it is what it is. But I can tell you that if you get too many sponsors and sponsees, it can get a little crazy. So, you know, but just trying to pick your way through it. But I know that, you know, early on, I was like, I want to be somebody's sponsor. But nobody was picking me. Nobody was asking me. And I asked, and I was talking to somebody about it, and they go, you're not ready, right? People see it. People can see me for probably a little bit who I am more than I can, right? You know, I see people that I'm like, you know, this person's, you know, doing great, but I can tell they're not quite ready, right? You can see what we get hung up on. And, but regardless, Ron M. was amazing. He was my first temporary sponsor. And then I had, what the hell was his name? I can't remember. Oh my God, that's so bad. Then I had a second sponsor, which I remember that whole episode because I really liked what he had to say and I liked his sobriety. This was quite a few years ago, so, you know, it'll come to me here in a second. I'll remember. But, you know, he was awesome too. And he really, he took me through the steps and, you know, it was an amazing experience. And I was very, very grateful for him. And then I had a couple more. And I'm not going to really remember their names either, but I've had a few sponsors now. And then when I finally went back out and drank and then finally came back in, that's when I reached out to my buddy Matt, and Matt became my last and latest sponsor. And not my latest, but my last. And he was just awesome. He was awesome as a sponsor. He was awesome as a friend. He was awesome as an annoying person. He was just a great, great guy. You know, he was that guy that you get really annoyed at, but the next time you saw him, he's that guy that just was like, oh, my God, this guy's awesome. So I miss him, and I've shared that a lot of times. He was just a super great guy, big guy in the community, a great example, an inspiration, and he did a lot of things with me that allowed me to kind of figure it out, right? He would plant the seed a little bit, and then as it grew, I would start to, you know, sort of figure it out, understand really what my problem is, and that is I'm a very self-centered person that's full of fear, right? And I'm deficient in humility, which means that I am a guy, I'm a me guy, right? Scared to death, and I'm lacking some God in my life. But he didn't say that to me, but the way that he would, I remember him saying, you know, call me every day, and you know, and I've shared this, and I would call, and he wouldn't answer, and I'd be like, why didn't you answer? He's like, I just said to call me. I didn't say I was going to answer. And I was like, oh, fucker. But it was great, man, and I missed that guy. He passed away in a motorcycle accident. I'll never forget the day, man. It was my buddy Scott over at the Crystal Cafe, and he had gotten in the accident. We were just sort of, and he was in India, right, Nepal, and just sort of following along, you know, I was texting with his sister, and a few other people, just trying to... I remember at one point, we're like, he'll be better, right? He'll get better. It's Matt. Well, and then I remember that Wednesday, I was off, and I got the call, or I got a text, you know, Matt passed. And it's like your whole world just shifts, right? And, you know, I'd love to say it was one of the hardest periods of my life. I've gone through some hard times, but that was definitely a tough one. And it wasn't only, you know, sometimes we'll go through situations that really affect us. This affected everybody. This one was a big one. And, you know, he was a good friend. He was my kid's godfather. I mean, he was just a big deal. So it's been a bit. But finally, the other day, I finally asked someone to be my new sponsor. Was man he was always there Actually, I shouldn't say that, because he, the fact is that he wasn't always there, and I think the fact that him not always being there taught me a lot, right? Because, you know, I, as a self-centered person, I want full access to my sponsor, right? And this was also an interesting one, because he was a really cool guy, right? So I needed a sponsor, but I also wanted to be associated with a really cool guy. And you know, I would learn a lot, but the fact is he passed, and we miss him, we love him, but, you know, he's gone, and it's been 8 years, and I need a sponsor. I can't sponsor myself. And the other issue that I have is I've been doing it for a while, right? So I'm not struggling. I'm not having any challenges. Just typical challenges, typical thoughts, right? But nothing, you know, I'm not like, oh my God, I need to get a sponsor. But what I am doing is I've been listening to a voice that says, you're not going to find a sponsor that was as good as he. You're never going to find that situation again. You got lucky once, and that's never going to happen again, so don't bother. And this sort of thinking, this sort of conversation that I have with myself or that lower power has been a hot topic lately. And, you know, I was talking to a client yesterday who's in the program, and we were talking about that. And she's like, you know, I don't pay attention, right? I pay attention, but I don't pay attention to the source. We were talking about running, and, you know, I'm like, this voice that this lower power shows up in a lot of the things that I do in my life, you know, whether it's going to meetings, whether it's working, whether it's, you know, with family, whether it's, you know, running, whatever it is, there's always this, you know, I get up, I want to go for a run, there's always this voice, don't do it, it's going to be cold, yada, yada, and it's this sort of the same with like procrastination and all these different things. And we were talking, she goes, you know, I never really think about it like that. I've never thought about this lower power. And, you know, it seems to me, it's like happening all the time. And so just the fact that there's a voice in my head that says that I don't really need the sponsor has been really making me pay more attention to it. And I've shared, this is how I ended up drinking. Several things happened back then, but, you know, in the end, it was a voice that told me, you're doing great. You should probably have a drink. It'll be fine, yada, yada. And we all know what happened after that. So the point of all this is I got a new sponsor. And I guess I'm just going to call him Jay. That's not his name. His actual name starts with a J, but I'm just going to call him Jay because it's an anonymous program. And, I'm also learning that, like, there's a lot of people listening to this podcast. Didn't realize that. I mean, I see numbers, I see the numbers, but, you know, I've had several people reach out over the week like, hey, where's your podcast? What's going on? And I'm like, you're listening? I didn't realize. I mean, I know there's people listening because I see these numbers on this computer, but so several people reached out. I'm sorry. I didn't realize. So I'm excited to get back doing the podcast, but, you know, I've been waiting and all week, you know, there's that voice. What are you doing? What are you doing the podcast for? And I almost listened. I was like, you know, maybe I'm done with this. Maybe I'm done with this. We've had a few people reach out and complain, or actually two people. One complained, I don't know, about something I said. And then I was pretty deflated after that, too. I'm like, God damn. But, you know, we're reaching thousands of people, and I've only gotten one complaint on this podcast, and it was referring to my father. This guy sent a letter to my dad saying that I was talking shit about him on the podcast. I wasn't. I hope I wasn't. I love my dad. You know, and then I was thinking, so my dad's like, you know, I got this letter, and it says that you're an idiot, me. Meaning, the letter said, so funny, the letter said, your son's an idiot, that's me, and then I'm talking shit about my dad. Concerned citizen. And I was like, oh my God. He goes, do you talk about me on the podcast? And I go, well, I talk about you, but I don't talk about you in a bad way. I'm endearing of him, of my father. I love my dad. My dad is fucking awesome, man. And I'm so proud of him. I had a lady, we were talking about Colorado Springs. I go, my dad's the first graduating class of the Air Force Academy out in Colorado Springs, class of 59. So proud of my dad. I think if I share stories about my father, it's really how, and listen, I know I'm not the only one that has relationships with older parents, right? You know, my dad at 85, I am just in awe of the fact that I'm even available to take care of my dad today, right? And I think my dad is at the same time feeling the same way. He even said, I'm amazed you guys take care of me, right? But I think as a person, as a human, trying to have a relationship with an older parent especially when your mom has already passed. So you're really just kind of, it's a relationship with your dad. As and me being, you know, 54 and him being 85, you know, our views and our thoughts are not really the same. But also as a person that's sober and trying to work a program, I have to have some give and take in my life and with the relationship with my dad, because the what's most important to me is that my dad has some sort of peace, right? My dad is happy. I mean, I want to be happy too, but he is what's important now. He focused a big chunk of his life on me and my brother, and now it's our turn to do the same. So someone mailing him a letter and saying that was pretty fucked up. But hey, man, you got your, you got, people have their, you know, freedoms, and do whatever you got to do. But just because, you know, it made my dad like nervous. You know, my dad doesn't understand the podcast world. And then to have somebody write him a letter randomly and complain about his son, you know, got him a little stirred up. But he's fine. I hope, I never try to talk bad about my father. I think what I try to talk about is just how the give and take in our relationship and our views are different, and the way we grew up were different. And honestly, our relationship up to maybe 5 years, 6 years ago was completely different. You know, my mom was alive. Things were different 10 years ago. And, you know, and I've shared, you know, we made a, or I should say I made, because my dad really didn't make this. We had gotten in an argument. We were storming out. I was storming out, and I stopped, and I walked back in. I said, listen, why don't we try to do it, different for a while, because you don't have a long time left. I love you guys. My mom was still alive at the time. I was like, I love you guys. I want to, you know, I want to be part of your lives, right? I don't want to storm out every 2 weeks in an argument. And we both sort of got the memo, I think, because my father, I think people that are older, or maybe I shouldn't even say that. My dad, he's a military guy. So, you know, to have feelings and humility and that kind of stuff is new to him. He's a very smart guy. But he's, you know, by the book. And so for me to walk back in and say, hey, man, why don't we, let's try this differently. And I have. He sometimes doesn't, but he's also 85, right? He's pretty set in his ways. We definitely have situations where I could storm out again, but I say, and my wife's like, Dad, because I love him. You know, one of the coolest things about taking care of your parent is just trying to help him feel safe. And he does. But this isn't a guy that used to worry about feeling safe. This is a guy that was the leader of the pack, right? King of the mountain. But we get older. And I would really feel bad if I hadn't somehow pulled my head out of my ass and wasn't available for my dad these days. I would really, really, really feel bad about that. But I don't. He is, and we love him. He'll be over for dinner tonight. But yeah, so it was weird. And I really had to take a look at this podcast and what I was doing. But the fact is, I like doing this podcast. I like chatting about stuff. I wanted to, and we'll keep it up. We'll get back on the schedule. I appreciate, listen, if you listen to this podcast, I appreciate it. Thank you. It's not really about that. It's really just, I think I want to just be an example of really the benefits of sharing and talking. You know, I talk to whoever listens to this podcast into this microphone, but I also sit and talk to like my new sponsor. You know, he's like, call me every day. It reminded me of Matt, and there was, for a second, I go, does he not know that I have this much time? Why do I need to call every day, right? Great reason to have a new sponsor. Great reason to go to a lot more meetings, because I'm still that guy, and the fact is that it's what he asked, and it's what I'll do, and it's what I've done since he asked. I called him every day. I haven't called him today, but I will, and, you know, I feel kind of like back under... you know, I signed back up, right? I'm back in. Next thing I need to do is get a home group. And back to that point, you know, after being in this program for so long, what do I need a sponsor for? What do I need a home group for? Because for the next person, to be an example. All right, I wanted to read. So I got this as Bill sees it. I read one. I wanted to read another one, see what it says. So the first one I read was personality change. Personality change. All right, number two, in God's hands. I'm going to read. So this is as Bill sees it. The AA Way of Life, Selected Writings of AA's Co-Founder. All right. In God's Hands, this is number two. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. My depression deepened unbearably, and finally it seemed to me as though I were at the very bottom of the pit. For the moment, the last vestige of my proud obstinacy was crushed. What the fuck is that? The last vestige of my proud obstinacy was crushed. All at once, I found myself crying out, "If there is a God, let him show himself. I am ready to do anything, anything." Suddenly, the room lit up with a great white light. It seemed to me in the mind's eye that I was on a mountain and that a wind, not air, but a spirit was blowing. And then it burst upon me that I was a free man. Slowly, the ecstasy subsided. I lay on the bed, but now for a time I was in another world, a new world of consciousness, all about me, and through prayer, and through me there was a wonderful feeling of presence, and I thought to myself, so this is the God of the preachers. Okay, I don't know what the hell any of that meant. I mean, I sort of know what it means, but damn, there's a lot of words right there. Yeah, you have to read that. Maybe I'm not going to read this. Bill sees it. That book is a little long. You know, I knew one thing, that as soon as, I started to surrender what I thought, when I started to surrender me, I started to find some happiness, right? It's all surrender, and it's all fear. Everything is fear. All of my problems today are fear, and the solution is to surrender for everything. You know, that day when I was having that issue with my dad, I surrendered. You know, it was like a little war, a little battle. And our soldiers clashed, and my soldiers were going out the front door. My dad's soldiers were regrouping in the study. And then my soldier said, "Hey, give me a white flag. I'm done with this fight." And we surrendered. We walked back in with our head down, head up, shoulders back, but a white flag up, and I said, "Hey, I'd rather we try to, you know, have a better life, right? You don't have that much time. I want to be here for you. I don't want to fight. I surrender. You know, I surrender. I don't have any dogs in this fight, man. I want to have love. And you know, I feel like the whole world is love, right? The only thing, the problem with a world of love is fear." You know, I wake up in the morning, before my eyes open, I'm full of love, right? I look, my eyes finally open, I look up the ceiling, it's just all love, right? And then, bing, the alarm goes off. First sign of fear, right? I'm not scared of the alarm, but the fact is that the alarm tells me one thing. I got to get up, didn't want to get up. Where do I got to go? I got to go to work, don't want to go to work. It's not fear, it's really just inconvenience, but it's the first deflection, it's the first, you know, alternate than love, right? And it's just the rest of the day is more fear, right? And that's how my whole life has been. And this program really has taught me how to try to remove the fear. You know, I've said before, the spiritual awakening, right? That here's your Corvette. And you park it in the driveway. And then you take the keys and you throw them in the garage and shut the door. And inside the garage is full of boxes. And on each box says what? Fear. And you're like, "Well, I can't get to my Corvette because I don't have the keys." Well, you got to go through the garage and take out all the boxes to get to the keys. So you always are, we're always a spirit. I've personally always had a spiritual relationship. I just was covered up in so much fear that I couldn't see it. And that's what these 12 steps, I think, help us do, is start removing the fucking boxes. Right? One box said, "Hey, Matt was the best sponsor. You're never going to find another one." Another box says, "Hey, you've been in this program a long time. You don't even need a sponsor." Hey, another box said, I can't believe that someone thinks you should get a sponsor, right? And more of those boxes. But I had to open the door and I had to start pulling those boxes out, looking at them. What does this box say? You've been in this program a long time. You don't need a sponsor. Well, that's not true, right? That's not that. That may be lower power talk, but the reality is that's, you know, from a guy that has been in working a program since 1997 with a couple breaks there, but, you know, doing this, let me say that differently. For a guy that's been showing up to this program since 1997, I'm not sure I've been working a program. But I've watched and I look and I see, and I've seen people that were at the top of the mountain and then I've seen them fall. I've seen people that haven't done shit, you know, in this world but still continuously stay sober in the grind. I mean, I've seen, you know, so many different things, and knowing that, you know, one day at a time, right? One day at a time, and maybe we'll get through this, I guess. But, you know, just these different boxes that I'm having to go through and start trying to get, because I want peace. That's, you know, I also go to a 12 and 12 or a step meeting. And we had read the last, or 2 weeks ago, we had read the first half of step 12. And the second, last, or Monday, we read the second half of step 12. And at the end of step 12, it says a serenity prayer. I guess I knew that because I've read the 12 step many times and finished reading that. And so I did know that, but I completely forgot because a few weeks back I was like, that's it. The serenity prayer is our goal. God means you have a relationship with God, right? That's a definite thing. You know, look at some people. Some people don't want a relationship with God. Some people do. You know, hopefully over time you start to, or we start to think, hey, maybe a relationship with God might help. Surrender. Surrender and have a relationship with God. But that God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Who wouldn't want that? And they finished the step 12 with that. And I was like, it says it right there at the end. It's right there. God, grant me the serenity to accept, which is surrender, right? Accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Humility, courage, and knowledge. What else could we want, right? What else could we freaking want? How much time we got? Ooh, that was a little long there. Let me read the daily reflections. That, as Bill sees it, was lackluster. I'm sure it's great. Love you, as Bill sees it. Love you! But I didn't get anything out of that one. Let's see. Daily reflections. Oh, would a drink help? Let's see. I doubt it. January 18th. By going back in our own drinking histories, we could show that years before we realized that we were out of control, that our drinking even then was no mere habit, that it was indeed the beginning of a fatal progression, 12 steps, 12 traditions. When I was still drinking, I couldn't respond to any of life's situations the way other more healthy people could. The smallest incident triggered a state of mind that believed I had to have a drink to numb my feelings. But the numbing did not improve the situation, so I thought further escape in the bottle. Today I must be aware of my alcoholism. I cannot afford to believe that I have gained control of my drinking, or again, I will think I have gained control of my life. Such a feeling of control is fatal to my recovery. Yeah, it's that lower power voice. You know, I will think I have gained control of my life, and it's usually some fucked up voice in my head that's telling me, "Yeah, you got this, bro. You got this. You gained it." Not the case. Yeah, when I was still drinking, I couldn't respond. Yeah, that's the one thing. The one cool thing, many cool things about putting down the drink and getting sober and working on serenity. But just the you know, my buddy Matt used to say, man, as long as you don't put a drink in your mouth, you are capable of doing anything that you want. As soon as you put a drink in your mouth, the gig is up, right? All bets are off. And that's very true. So anyway, thanks for listening. I'll get these podcasts coming back out, start working on it, try to find some peace and serenity, stay out of my own head. But I appreciate whoever's listening to this podcast. I appreciate you letting me share. If you're just new to getting sober, hang in there, man. Hang in there. I saw a guy the other day. He goes, I don't know. He just had a few days. He goes, I don't know what my sobriety date is. I go, pick one. Let's pick one. Let's fucking get it going, because there's going to be someone after you, right? You will be an inspiration to somebody. We're always an inspiration to somebody. There's always somebody out there struggling a little worse than us. And, yeah. I hope everyone has a great day. Later. Time after time, after my picture fades and darkness has turned to gray, watching through windows, I'm wondering if you're okay. You say go slow, I fall behind. The drum beats out of time. If you're lost, if you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting time after time. If you fall.